Let's pray.
Pray, Word of God, to speak.
Yes.
Give us the ears to hear what you are saying to your church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, please. In verse 32. Chapter 12, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We were talking in the office before the service, and David was talking about what a lucky man I am. I got all the jackpot of scriptures for today. These
Father always loved you best.
But these are fabulous scriptures. The NIV actually did a good job of translating this particular verse. I was kind of happily surprised. But there, the two verbs in this one verse are both in the past tense, the aorist active indicative, and then the aorist active infinitive on these two. So it's past tense in both of them. And so when it says, your Father has been pleased, it's a done deal. And he has pleased to give you the kingdom. That's a done deal. It's been done. He was happy to do it, and he has already done it. So the kingdom is ours. But the neat thing about that, too, is it's all in the plural. So, you know, if it was a Southern translation, it'd be y'all's Father was pleased to give y'all the kingdom. It's for all of us. And it only works if we're all doing it together. So y'all enjoy it, okay? That's Mount Translation. That's right. It has been a couple of hard weeks here, folks. I mean, there's been a lot of spiritual warfare going on around us. I know that it was a disappointment when the bishop was unable to come in July, and there was some discouragement we had to deal with, and the enemy really tried to play on all that. And there were people who took time off in July, so they couldn't take time off this past weekend. And there were people traveling, and people had other plans for the weekend and so forth. And the spirit of discouragement really tried to take hold, and I thank God that he gave us the strength and the encouragement to overcome that. You know, praise the Lord for that. Amen. I think what did happen was good, and it was a good weekend. But there were other things that also came against us. Just week before last, Amanda McLaughlin's grandmother died, and there's been a lot of distractions, a lot of things that have come against that family. And then on Thursday of this week, it was the day from hell for me. I got up in the morning and I was going to back up all the work I'd been doing on my Fellowship of St. Benedict files. And somehow, in my stupidity, I managed to not save them, but to delete all of them. And so I kind of lost it. Yeah, she says. And anyway, And Apple was unable to help me, and it was a mess. Anyway, and then on top of that, while I'm trying to deal with all that, the bishop calls from Atlanta, and he says, Father, I'm in an automobile dealership in Atlanta, and my car won't work. So he didn't make it here in time for the dinner on Thursday night with the clergy, but thanks be to God, it was nothing serious. He did get here, praise the Lord. Yesterday morning, I got a text message from Susan Morris. And she was very discouraged, and she was really reluctant to come yesterday morning. But the Lord got a hold of her, thanks be to God. My wife was having a similar sort of thing. David, come on. Now, have you ever met a more extroverted individual than him? And he says he woke up and he was all anxious about going out. Oh, come on now. Where did that come from? You know where that came from. That was the enemy action if ever there was. And then it didn't stop after we
stung you on the hand.
Oh yeah, I got stung on the hand that morning too. I mean, it was just one thing after another. But anyway, And then it didn't stop after yesterday afternoon. And poor Jackie Hickson had 15 rounds with Mike Tyson yesterday, you know. But the enemy is really trying to bring us down. I think the lowest blow, absolutely lowest blow, was when I got home yesterday afternoon. I wanted a cup of coffee. I was tired. Went to get the cup of coffee, pulled the carafe out, and it was broken. Don't mess with my coffee, demons. You are really making me mad now. Don't touch my coffee.
But the Lord provides.
He does. The Lord provides. He provided in all of these things. You know, the enemy can try and come against us, and we can give in, or we can give up, or we can put our faith in God. And that's what the message of these scriptures is for us today, is walking by faith. That's the message. It's to walk by faith. Take a look at we've heard this passage from Luke, but take a look at the Old Testament lesson, Genesis chapter 15. There's the promise to Abraham. This man will not be your heir, referring to Eleazar of Damascus. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Now, why should Abraham believe that? He's an old fart. I mean, come on. And his wife is an old lady. And there's just no hope. There's just no way this is ever going to happen. But Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. There's no reason he should have believed that, in a worldly sense. But he had faith, and he believed that God could do it. And that's so important for us. When all the things seem to be going wrong and coming against us, and nothing seems to be working, and there just doesn't seem to be any hope. But if you stand in the faith, and you really believe that the promise of God is faithful and sure, then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He had a promise that he was going to get a son. Did he get it? Absolutely, without a doubt. And then in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but you can read it for yourself. The whole chapter is just filled with hope. Now here, the nearly infallible version got really fallible, all right? Now, I'll try and help you walk through this one. But in the NIV, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." That's so watered down, it's really sad. Because in the Greek, it's, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." All right? Substance, the Greek word there is hypostasis. Stasis is where you get the word static in English. Okay, static is something that is stable. I mean, you know, it doesn't move. It's just there. You can trust that it's not going anywhere. Static, it's staying right there. And hupo means to be on top of it. So to be on top of something that's static means you aren't going to move. It's a sure foundation. So faith is the hypostasis. It's the substance. It's the static thing that you can stand on. And it's the evidence. And again, that's the proof. Like you would go into a courtroom. What are you going to bring into a courtroom? You're going to bring the evidence. And that's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, you go, wow, I don't know. I can't believe something that I can't see. I've got to be able to see it before I can believe it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not the evidence of things not seen. John chapter 20. Verse 29 says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I want to be among the blessed. Amen?
Amen.
So we walk by faith. We are led by the Holy Spirit. Now what I would like to do is rather than sit here and talk to you about all this stuff, is I'd like to hear from some of you who went out yesterday and experienced some of that faith. Who experienced you. I know there was some reluctance, some actual fear and some concern about going out and accosting people on the street and so forth. But I'll tell you what, I heard some tremendous testimony yesterday. I think it would be very helpful for the whole congregation to hear some of that. So what I'd like for you to do is, if you would be willing to share one of the testimonies of what you have, come on up here, because I want you to be able to say it into the recorder here, and share with the congregation. Okay? So, please.
Yesterday I told about this woman that I met on the street over in front of what used to be the Bank of America across from Pritchard Park. And talk about appearances being deceptive. It was so interesting what the Lord said to me. She was sitting on the sidewalk. She was counting up little piles of change. She had a couple of containers and a couple of bags, and she was waiting for someone. But she was sitting there. And she had there was just a positiveness about her. And the Lord showed me that I don't care if she was homeless, I don't care if she was sitting on the street, I don't care if all she had was a little bit of change, and she was so thin. He told me, this woman loves me. She loves me. And I love her. And he had me pray for her in such a way that it was uplifting. It was that she was going to go forward and good things were going to happen. I don't know if anything good ever happened for a long time in her life, because to look at her, it seemed like she was in all kinds of extremity, that she didn't have any supply, and that she was just waiting for someone to come to help her. But the Lord overshadowed all of that, and he said, she's mine. And I told her what he said, that she was his. And there was just such a presence of God there. And I wasn't praying over her. We were praying in the middle of his presence. She was and I was. And it was just a real meeting for him. So you find things good from God where you don't expect it. And it's worth going out to find it.
Nobody believes me when I say I'm really shy. I am good in front of my high schoolers, but you guys terrify me.
We're nice.
I know, and I love you, but you're really scary. yesterday, well, actually started earlier this week. I was like, yeah, Friday night, cool. Yeah, no, Saturday, not going. And I was trying to come up with reasons why I shouldn't go. I might bruise my hands and then I wouldn't be able to play or whatever. And taking a shot here. Okay. And Hugh, the night before, just looked at me with his kind, loving eyes after 36 years and said, honey, I really want you to go tomorrow. I'm like, gah. Okay, I'll go, but I'm not going to like it, and I'm not going to be good at this. And so then even Saturday morning, get up and I'm brushing my teeth and I'm having a one-sided conversation with the Lord. And I flat out challenged him, like, dude, you better step up and change my attitude, because it's not going to come from me. I'm liking where I am. Yeah. I said, okay, here's my fleas. I'm going to take that page off the calendar. And if what's underneath it That's what's going to make my decision. My text to Father Bill said, when will I ever learn? Okay? Because sure enough, 1 Samuel 12:16. Now then, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord is about to do before your eyes. And I was like, crap. No. So I got my happy little self in the vehicle and we came. And oh, sweet Jesus, it was amazing. Bless David M. Finger, the sweet young man with just, oh my gosh, I just wanted to pinch his cheeks. He got paired, lucky dog, with my dear accountability partner, Miranda, and me. And I was like, oh, dude, you have no idea. So, and we went just up the road to Biltmore Village. I'm thinking, I have zero in common with these people. I have never stepped foot in these shops. I don't know where. Anyway, it was amazing. Miranda felt absolutely, without a doubt, we were supposed to start at McDonald's.
If you want, you can tell that would be great. Tell the guy story.
Okay.
That was your guy.
Before we left, we were praying in the back, and I just had this sense that there would be a man all by himself. And I said, he's not an old man. He's not a young man. There he is. But because I have always ever seen like groups of people, a small family, a man and a woman, the guy usually carrying all the bags, all that kind of stuff. So a single man shopping or being in Biltmore Village just was like, okay, no. And we went through the morning and we had some amazing encounters with people. The first gentleman that I approached, we were having a conversation about the piano in McDonald's. I'd never heard or seen it before. And he was just sitting there listening. So we had a wonderful conversation. And when I asked him, may I pray for you? And he said, no, I'm good, thanks. And I was like, okay, I didn't die. This is good news. All right then. Well, I hope you enjoy your day. Okay, thank you. But throughout the day, it was wonderful. And we just didn't see my one guy until we were getting ready. We were walking back to the car. We were at the crosswalk to go back over to McDonald's parking lot. And Miranda looks over to the south and she says, is that your guy? I never even saw him until she pointed him out. And I was like, I don't know. Okay, one more time. Here's the fleece, Lord. If he comes this direction, that's the guy. Because, yeah, I'm a tester. It's just what I do. Are you sure? Are you really sure? And sure enough, crap. Okay, here he comes. And so Miranda and I both greeted him, but clearly homeless, clearly destitute, clear, what in the world are you doing in Biltmore Village?
And with his head down.
And he was like counting the grains of cement that he was walking over. And we got very minimal response. But David, as he walked past, said something to him. Hey, man, what's... And he kind of slowed a little and then he finally stopped. And we were able to pray with him and had wonderful conversation with him. He was in terrible pain with his neck and back, and interestingly had John 3:16 tattooed across the back of his neck. And we watched him straighten. He looked like he was carrying, well, he said, "This I'm carrying my home. I have nowhere else to be." And he looked like that home was made of bricks and mortar, and it was all on his back and shoulders. And but we watched him straighten, and he stayed with us longer than I would have initially expected. And we saw several people that, and talked with several people and prayed with several people.
That, he said he had no pain.
And he said, after that we prayed the second time, and he said his pain had gone from about a 10 to a 3, and then it was gone. And so, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for your patience.
So I'll fill in the other piece of that. Yeah, I was at least as reluctant as Susan to do this. And I told Bill on the way in, okay, I'll go out, but I'm not going downtown. I refuse to go downtown. And so then when we were talking, and we'll have several groups go downtown, and maybe some people just go in the neighborhood here, and one group, I think, went to the mall and so on. So I was like, okay. And then David, anyone who wasn't here Friday night, he's an amazing little guy. I mean, he's like a little puppy dog. That's how he struck me. You know, how could anybody be upset with him? But anyway, when he was going to go to Biltmore, so I went, okay, I'll go with him. And when we prayed beforehand, like Susan said, she got the image of the one guy. I just, as I told him, even on the way to here, the only sense I had is we need to go to McDonald's. I don't know why we need to go to McDonald's, but we need to go to McDonald's. I said, and that'll solve our parking problem. We'll drive up there, we'll park at McDonald's and walk from there. So we get out of the car, and David immediately sees this lady sitting, who's clearly one of the workers, sitting on the bench with a wrist brace, but she's talking on the phone. And he said, well, we probably should pray with her, but, you know, we weren't going to interrupt her while she was talking on the phone. So there was another guy who worked there, so he went over, he chatted him up about how fancy the McDonald's was, and, you know, can we pray for you? No, I'm good, same kind of thing. So we go in, and he goes in, and he's going to buy something, because give us an excuse to be at McDonald's. So he goes up to buy a smoothie, has this big conversation with the gal who's serving him, you know, essentially tries to give her a word that turns out to be incorrect, you know. But we tell her how cute she is and what a lovely smile she has. And then he tries to talk to these other guys who are picking up food. And the lady has a hat that says, Jerusalem, have you ever been to Jerusalem? No. You know, so totally cut off. And then she goes, talks to the piano guy. People were perfectly pleasant. Just nobody was, you know. So we're like, well, it's got to be the lady who was outside, right? So we go back outside. She's now off the phone. And we ask, you know, how she is, how she's doing, you know, what's with the wrist. And she says, well, she has tendonitis. And she takes the brace off, and she has this huge scar. And I put my hand through a window, you know. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and can we pray with you? And she's like, oh, yeah. You know, I'd love that. You know, and he, you know, she says it's not terrible. He asks how bad. It's not terrible, maybe about, three, because apparently that's one of his things, is to ask you what number you're at. So we're getting ready to pray with her, and you know, we don't want to weird anybody out, so we're not going to close our eyes and put our hands on them. And she reaches out and grabs our hands, wants to hold our hands. So we're holding hands, and we're praying, and he says, can I put my hand on your wrist? Oh, sure. And so he does that. And when we finished praying, she said that her wrist was just completely better. And, you know, and is there anything else we can pray for you? Well, yes, you can pray for my daughter. And her daughter had all kinds of stuff. She'd had brain surgery, and she had endometriosis, and she was just afflicted with lots and lots of stuff. So we prayed with her daughter. I mean, it was just amazing, amazing time. And so that made me feel better, because, you know, like, the only thing I heard was McDonald's, which didn't make any sense, and that was why I heard McDonald's. And as Susan said, we had another couple of other really neat encounters, so only one other I'm going to mention. So we were walking along, and there was a lady standing by herself at the bus stop, and we're still looking for somebody standing by themselves, and this clearly isn't a guy, but, you know, what the heck, we'll go over and chat with her. And we asked her if there was anything we could pray for her, and she said, yes, she works at the Biltmore, and she's been having trouble walking up the stairs. She gets breathless, and her heart races, and so on. So we prayed for that, and she felt some relief from that. But it turned out that she's here, like, on, I guess, a six-month work thing at Biltmore from Jamaica. And her whole family is still in Jamaica, and so she was really lonely. So we had a really nice conversation with her. We asked her if she had anywhere to worship, because clearly she was a believer. She said she didn't. Susan gave her phone number. We're still hoping maybe she'll call us at some point and want to come over. But, I mean, you know, it was just a really
encouraging time. We prayed with a couple other people. We had some other people just say, you know, no, I'm good, or no, thank you. But for the most part, people were really nice. They just appreciated people smiling at them and talking to them. And boy, I mean, David was so smooth. He was amazing. It was good he had the people who had to be dragged out on his team, because he was just amazing. And it was just a great time.
My crew was the, what my dad would call, the sick, lame, and lazy.
Trip is
independent. Yeah, Trip was our, you know, go fetch it stuff. Run around and open doors for Jan and all. But, you know, we had a good time. We didn't do a whole lot. We only saw basically two people, unless you saw somebody. Okay. And what we did a lot was kind of sit and catch our breath, you know, let rest their knees and all that. But we're also very easily distracted, by the way. And that comes with age, I think. And what would happen, we were walking by one of the little, you know, kiosks, and they had all these very pretty, I don't know, were they stretchy dress?
Dresses and tops. And
yeah.
And the
times
were beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, it really was. It was just a beautiful array of colors and designs and everything like that. And a young lady, you know, very pleasant to talk to. And Trip, you know, he likes getting down to business, because he's not old enough to say, hey, slow down. But he said, is there anything we can, or told her we were on our mission, and would you like to be prayed for? And she said, yes. And she came ripping out from behind her, you know, off her seat, and grabbed me on the back. And we were told, you know, you got to ask him permission, but I figured, what the heck? You know. So anyway, she went on to describe the worry that's in her life and the anxiety of that worry. And that was the thing I prayed for first, was, you know, that spirit of worry and anxiety to be gone. You know, but she had, her best friend was moving to Florida.
She lost her dog.
She had to put down her dog. Her mother has cancer and was on chemo, doing reasonably well. But she was having to deal with all the stress and the worry about that. And it really was a very nice, pleasant encounter with a very receptive person. So, I mean, you know, it really was a lot more fun when they say, oh, yeah, and jump up. But, you know, I didn't think about it until today. It says, therefore I say to you, this is Matthew 6, starting in the 25th. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. And that sort of is one of those commandments that probably about 15, 20 years ago when I first started with the church, Father David Paysinger came up, and we had about 4 to 6 weeks of a drill deacon or a drill priest, you know, from the military side. And one of the things that he caught me on was I worried. And I had a big department in the hospital, and there was a lot to worry about. And he said, you know, read this. And I read it, and he says, what does that mean? I said, not to worry. He says, no, he tells you not to worry. He's your boss. And he tells all of us not to worry. Put worry down. It's a sin. Forgive yourself of it. You're going to probably do it again. But every time I do, I kind of think about this. So, you know, that really hit me with the young lady. And it says, you know, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than the food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then the lilies of the valley, and how they're adorned, all the flowers are adorned in great clothing. And that's where it hit me, because I kept on saying, I want to get you these, because I like when she looks like a peacock. But it was just, it hit me that, man, that verse to 29, why, you know, bam, that's exactly what we did for her. We prayed the spirit, in the spirit of worry would just leave, and I hope it does for her.
You didn't know what I'm thinking, though.
Huh?
As soon as we finished praying for her.
Oh, yeah.
Her,
go ahead.
Her best friend walked up. She didn't know he was coming. He came to see her.
And she was just overjoyed. That was great. And then we had one more experience, but that, you know, it was fun too. We had sat somewhere in another kiosk, and the guy kind of was looking like, you know, and my interpretation was, what are these weirdos doing? But when I walked around the corner, I said, I'm going to talk to the guy. And if there's nobody at his kiosk, I'll talk. If somebody's at his kiosk, I walk by. And I rounded the corner and started walking, and I saw a guy, and he was at the kiosk, and I went, and then the Lord picked up his bag and walked away with it. And I went, So I got schooled on what's the oil? CBD oil.
CBD.
Yeah. I got schooled on that, and then we schooled them on prayer. So I don't know what that one would take, but the first one was just absolutely wonderful. And it did kind of build you up. I don't know about anybody else. I want to do it again. Thank you.
Hallelujah. And I want to add one thing. I didn't want to go either. I come Friday, but I wasn't.
I'll be short.
No.
He preached so we could make a lot of noise.
Yeah. I want to say something about divine appointments. Whether you know it or not, you have them every day. But, before we left, Janine, Elizabeth, and Joe and I, here in the center aisle, we prayed that God would make those appointments and show us who we were supposed to see. I had a vision of, this sounds weird, but an image of two shirts, a red one and a blue one. I said, well, there's somebody in a red or blue shirt there. I don't know if it's a couple, but that's where we're supposed to go. And Joe said, people standing at a bus stop. So we drove to shelters closed on Saturday, so we had a great wide open parking lot. I want you to know we never got out of that parking lot. parked, got out of the car, walked past the other car, and the guy in the red shirt comes up to me. Just ministry started immediately. And there were a bunch of people standing at the bus stop. And so we had these appointments. I'll tell you, the first one was very interesting. A young man named Matthew, it was obvious he was having some motor skills issues, having a hard time talking. And I noticed he had a rosary on. But I also saw the jade beads on the outside of that, and I said, is that a Buddhist rosary? It seemed like a you know, I guess equal opportunity kind of thing. And it was. And I said, where'd you get that? He said, I spent 20 years in Thailand. And I said, oh, why were you there? And he said, because they put me in prison. He was a jazz guitarist who had been on a tour and was arrested for drugs, and something would have been very minor here. It's not so minor in Thailand. And he was incarcerated, and they let him go after he got a virus, PML, which is a progressive degenerative brain disease. And that was the reason for the issues with the motor skills and struggle speaking. He was just a delight. We did not see a lot of physical healing with the people that we were praying with. They had other issues. But, of course, we prayed for them. And Elizabeth and Janine, great in prayer and great in speaking words of encouragement and love of God into their lives. But with, I think the... He said he had a, he's very easygoing, but would recently had been getting very angry at minor things. And so we did a quick exorcism there. But I remember while we were talking, there was a woman coming across the lot with a quad cane and a mask on, a surgical mask. I'm thinking, she's getting away. There's somebody with a physical ailment. She's getting away. She turned, and she was going pretty fast, you know, with a quad cane, and turned and goes up the sidewalk. Who was up the sidewalk? Father Jim Swatzel. Came around the building and got her. There was a divine appointment for that woman.
Just with you.
Yes. It wasn't my appointment. Yeah. It was someone else's. But the whole day, I mean, we were only out there 45 minutes, was just bathed in God's presence. It was amazing. And this is, I didn't realize this till we were getting ready to leave here yesterday. I kept glancing down at my watch because I knew we had to be back here. And it was like time was standing still. And I kept glancing at the watch. This is not the one I had on yesterday. And then we get in the car and we're going, and they're probably thinking I'm stupid. And I said, well, we'll probably be the first ones back. We weren't. We were like the last ones back.
Second to last, Gerard was last.
My watch had stopped. The battery was dead. Time was suspended. But I was thoroughly convinced that time had slowed down.
Oh, it was a great day. And we will do it again.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon of not wanting to go to this. And it's not like I worried a lot about it or had anxiety. I knew I had to do soup kitchen also that morning, and I'm like, God, isn't one enough, you know? But he never said, no, you're not supposed to go. So I said, well, I love you, Jesus. This is what you want me to do. I'm going to go. So I was all for the Friday night thing, you know. I love to sit and listen to the bishop. And then I'm like, well, I guess we still have to do Saturday, don't we? So I got up and I went to the soup kitchen, and I ran a little bit later than I usually do. And so by the time I got there, I usually serve at the tables. And all the tables had already been taken because they had about 12 students from Pisgah Academy there. So I'm like, cool, I don't have to do anything. So I could just be a runner, which was really fun to do. I could just kind of stand back and watch people and see what was needed. And so then after that was done, came on over here, and we divided up into groups. So they had, you know, groups going to Pritchard Park and groups going to Biltmore Village and groups going to the mall. And the bishop, you know, he got all the clergy up here and he said, okay, each one will be a leader and then we'll take two with each one. So then the bishop says, well, I'm going to the park. Who wants to go with me? Well, nobody said anything. So I'm like, I'll go. And I'm like, who did that? Who said that? That wasn't me. I don't. But I'm like, gosh, should I have done that? I should have given somebody else the opportunity to go with the bishop. And I'm like, no, I want to go with the bishop. I want to see what he's going to do, you know. Yeah. So anyway, so then I ended up driving too, which I'm like, I hate to drive. And I'm driving the bishop, you know. And then I've got Tyler too. So Tyler's in the back, you know. And I had to move the dog cover off the seat and all this. And I'm like, I'm just not prepared, you know. But everything was fine. And we got there and we were talking. And I said, well, should we just go over there and see if we can find a parking place? Because, you know, Pritchard Park. And Tyler said, yeah, just go, drive around. You know, it's a God appointment. There'll be something. And I'm like, okay. So we get over there, and there's, like, one spot, but it's, like, just for unloading stuff, you know. So I said, okay, well, you guys go ahead and get out, and I'll find a parking place and come back. So that's what we did. I came back, and Tyler and the bishop were already talking to this guy and working on – he had issues with his eyes. But he was a character and just – had lots of things to say as well. So they had basically already prayed for him by the time I got there, but it was, so finally the bishop said, okay, well, God bless you, we're going on. You know, he kind of had to, you know, move on. So we walked over to Haywood Street, and there was a lady standing on the other side of the road. And I looked at her, and I'm like, oh, she was at the soup kitchen this morning. And Bishop says, oh, well, you want to go talk to her? And I'm like, sure. I'm like, who said that? It's not me, you know. So we walk across the street, and he goes, well, Amanda, you go ahead, because it's a woman. She might be more comfortable. So I went and started talking to her and just said, hey, I saw you at the soup kitchen this morning. We're out praying for people today. Anything you need? And she said, yeah, I need housing. So, well, do you mind if we pray for you? And she said, no. So the bishop and Tyler had come on over, and so she, and, you know, they had said, don't touch anybody. Don't take their hand. Well, she grabbed my hand right away. So we prayed for her for housing and talked to her for a while, and then the bishop had a word of a prophetic word for her, too, which was just beautiful, and she started crying, and then she was telling us a story. She had come up from Greenville, North Carolina, and she had been robbed, and, held hostage, I think, and Tyler was like, well, I lived there for 16 years, you know, and he said, when did this happen? And she told him, and he said, well, I might have been there. And it ended up, it was in the summer. He had left in the winter or something in February. But he knew the detective that was on her case and who solved it and got some of her stuff back. So that was kind of one of those God appointments, you know. They knew this, they had met the same person. And then the bishop blessed her with a little bit of money before we left, and she just started crying too. But she was just very sweet. She knew the Lord, was open to us praying for her. And then we walked over, ran into a couple of young girls, typical Asheville-ian young ladies, and they were kind, but they did not want any part of us. So we walked on, and then we ran into Esther Rachel sitting on a bench. And so, once again, Bishop goes, well, it's a lady. You go ahead, Amanda. I'm like, good grief. Do I have to do everything? You know, but anyway, so I went over and we started talking to her. And turns out she had just lost her fiancé. He had gotten hit by a car down in Columbia, South Carolina. And she was still, of course, deep in the grieving process and was very sad. She also was, I think she said she was 59 years old. And I'll be 58 in November. And so there was that age connection. And Bishop asked, well, are there any physical needs, you know? And she said, well, yeah, I was sick early in the year, had both kinds of flu. And then when I went in to get checked out, they found a heart problem. And She said, well, they didn't tell me that when I had the flu. So I've got this heart problem, and then I've got back issues and hip issues. It's hard for me to stand, and I sleep on the ground, and it's just very difficult for me to get around. And so Bishop said, well, Amanda, why don't you let Amanda pray for you? So I sat down on the bench, and she gave me her hand once again. And she looked at me, and she said, Your name is Amanda? And I said, yes. And she said, that's my daughter's name. So I started to pray, and then I'm like, well, wait a minute, what is your name? And that's when she told me her name is, she said, you're not going to believe this. My name is Esther Rachel. And Bishop, oh, what a beautiful name, you know. So we prayed for her and started off with the emotional stuff and then went to her heart, prayed for her heart, and then prayed, commanded the back to be healed. And after that, Bishop said, well, I don't want to make you, you know, do too much, but how's your back feeling? And she said, well, I don't know. I don't know unless I get up and walk. And he's like, well, I don't want to make you walk, but can you stretch your legs out? And she's like, well, I can get up. I can walk over there to the end of the sidewalk. He said, well, if you want to. So she gets up and she starts walking, and he goes, well, Tyler, you walk with her, and that way, if she, you know, if she needs more prayer, you can stop and pray. So we stood by her stuff because we didn't want her stuff to get taken off the bench. So we look over and they've stopped, and Tyler's praying with her, and he said, well, you go on over and pray with them. So I went over, and Tyler was praying for her, and he saw a vision of her dancing, and she was like, well, I was dancing last night. He said, well, I mean, I see you dancing and just twirling around and being free. And she goes, well, I wasn't twirling around. And so it took her a while, I think, to understand that he was saying God was seeing her set free from all of this, you know. And so we prayed for her some more and said, well, how's your back doing? And she said, well, I think it's better, you know. And so then we walked back toward the bishop, and she said, yeah. And he asked her, and she goes, yeah, it feels better. My hip feels better. So we sat and, you know, talked to her a little bit more. But she was just, it was just like, she just cried. And she just needed somebody also to come and listen to her, you know, and pay attention, notice her, you know. She was so alone after she had lost her fiance and just there on the streets. And these people, you know, I was scared because I didn't know, you know, you don't know what you're going to encounter. But every encounter we had, the people were nice and they needed it, you know. So it's a cool thing, and I'm not the kind of person who wants to do that, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat because you get as much out of it as they do.
Yeah.
Hey, can I chime in just real quick? Sorry, I'll be quick, I promise.
Just, you know, it's for everybody who wasn't here, I know that everybody that was here, you know, I think had a good response, had a good feel from it, was really impressed at how much they enjoyed it and how easy it kind of was as opposed to, you know, what we all thought. Because I didn't want to do it either. I didn't want to go, you know. I mean, most of the time, you know, in my daily life. But that's the thing to me. You know, I know the bishop was talking about how young and inexperienced the apostles were in their own knowledge of God and of Christianity at the time. You know, they had no idea, and he sent the 72 out, and you know, none of them had a clue what they were doing or where they were going or how they were going to do it. And but they obviously had, as we said earlier, that heart for God. And I remember thinking Friday night when we had to just turn and prophesy over someone, prophesied over Miranda that I knew that she had the heart of God, and her glasses had caught my attention, and I knew that she sees people with the eyes of God. She's dealing with people like on the streets, at the library, even just people who are at the library who probably just aren't nice a lot of times. But, you know, and it's that having that heart of God and seeing people that way, you know. And I know that everybody in here has that. I know y'all all showed me that the first time I ever walked through the door, which was, you know, at the other door. So it's been a while. So that's, I mean, that's the thing. And then there, you know, the divine appointments are there every day, and it's not, You know, it's great to go out in a group and do that, but it's an everyday thing. And I mean, you know, there are signs, and you know, the red shirt, the blue shirt. There's things that will stick out at times. And you know, I tried to think of that myself before we left, and then I wasn't getting anything. Went outside and I saw a butterfly. And I thought, oh, it just didn't make any sense. And the whole time we were there, it never made any sense to me until afterwards I was going home and I realized the dress that Jan was pulling out and was looking at. If you look at a yellow swallowtail butterfly at the bottom, there's blue across the bottom and they got these two big circles on there. And I think that dress had like two big circles. It could have been the bottom half of that butterfly. It's like, okay, well, so it was there. You know, I just didn't see it. But it's, I mean, people are receptive, and so most of the time it's just about having the heart. What I know everybody here does daily, when you're in line at the grocery store, you're just saying hey to people because I know you're all nice people. So just keep doing that. Ask them if you can pray for them.
David was really nice. He really just to follow up on what Tripp said, David was really nice afterwards when he was commending us all afterwards and how much love he said. And I think that's amazing about you people. You all remember the names of the people you prayed over. He was just really impressed that we knew who they were.
I was just going to say, we met Matthew, we met Christian, we met Jay, we met Jason. We already had a Joe. We met Doug, we met Allie. Did I miss anybody? I think we did. And the bishop was suggesting be childlike, be bold. Well, you know, David, never mind, has a way of, you know, being childlike, and I mean that in a very good sense, just a way of opening. And we did pray before we left. And I do believe I'm a very slow student. I didn't get any visions as such, no word, no nothing. He's working hard with me. But what I did see was just a fog. And in my naivete, which I will now take as childlike, I had no pre-expectations. I didn't want to be there, really. You know, we were all out of our comfort zone. But yet, that's the same individual that I could have met anywhere, anytime, just a friend that we haven't met yet. Okay. And we did get a supreme parking space, no valet required. We were right there. And I kept looking for the bus stop, but I didn't see a bus stop. I saw a tree. And all of these people were hanging around the tree, and mostly men. And it was fascinating. Each one of them was very interesting. And we don't know the depth of the experiences, the emotions, anything that has transpired in their lives. But they were all very interesting. Eric had a connection, other than the safety pin in his ear, he had a connection with his niece who knew of the killings down in El Paso and knew, I believe, the shooter or very close related. We were able to pray for him. And he was telling us Bible verses, recognitions. You know, it's not them, us, or whatever. It was just really rather cool. And the physical presence would be, you know, kind of put you off a little bit. Didn't matter. And the guys were terribly, terribly chatty. Very, really, very interesting stories. And probably that God appointment, and I hadn't thought about it till just now, there was Allie and a young woman sitting there, and she had a sweater on and just in her jeans and boots and was sitting on the ground, and she was connected with Jason because they were apparently in the rescue house and they have to leave during the day, or it was not open. I didn't realize that at the time, but they were waiting to get a ride for a day job. And in getting to know Allie, she had just been released from the hospital about 26 days earlier from mission, and they just dropped her off there. She hadn't talked to her children. She hadn't talked to her family. All that kept floating in her conversation was her children. And a little bit later in that morning, Joe had his phone with him, and she was able to talk to her children. So if nothing helped, you know, happened during the day for any of y'all, Allie got to talk with her children. And what could be a greater blessing for us to witness? So, yeah, for all of us who didn't want to go, all of the uncomfortableness and the cool thing. And we talked about, we were schooled in how to approach, may I put my hand on you? May I touch you? Every single one of the people that we met, so we obviously had the best place. We chose the best part of Asheville because everyone, I think, enjoyed talking with us. We enjoyed talking with them, and they were most cordial, extended their hands, and Allie said, "May I have a hug?" And I gave her a big bear hug, and isn't this, I mean, just the basic common denominator all the way down? This is what we should be with one another. And, you know, and guilty as charged. We're all prejudiced of sorts. We learned that at the get-go. But come down to it. And we had the most pleasant exchanges. And God was, he was doing it. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
You can speak. Mine's a little bit different. And I didn't go.
But it's good.
But I was at a car show where we had 205 people come with their cars. And I prayed. But Friday night, Father David threw me under the bus. He apologized. He ratted me out and he told Gerard, she's got back problems. And you know, over the last however many years I've been here, one thing after another, brought my tissue just in case. So they sat down with Tripp and Gerard's wife over by the door and said a prayer over me. And in the middle of it, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure. You have issues with your mother." And I just dropped my head. Major issues. She told me at one point she wished she'd never had kids. What do you do? So she prayed over me. He prayed over me, literally wrapped his arms around my head. I had a headache. Shoulders were hurting, my knees were hurting, my back was hurting. When he got done, I have no more pain. For the first time in 6 years. And you can ask Tripp. He said he wished we could do a family healing because my sisters both walk around with pain constantly all the time. You don't know what you carry with you can make you ill. And it's just so awesome to wake up and not hurt. Thank you.
She was testifying, she was just somewhere else.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Your turn.
I mean, David Uholt had the same experience. He had a vision of somebody with back pain. They went into a barber shop and asked if there, and he asked, "Is there anybody here with back pain?" Father David Uholt, "Anybody here with back pain?" And everybody's going, no. And this little boy's pointing at his dad going, "He has back pain, he has back pain."
Ratted him out.
Yeah. You sure you didn't want to talk?
I'm good.
Well, you lived through
a little bit of everything. Right. I didn't
want to
go either. So.
All right. Well, let me reiterate. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is the kingdom, guys. This is it. I mean, going out in the street. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom. It's our kingdom because we belong to Christ. And it's His good pleasure to give it to us. And if you believe, it'll be reckoned to you as righteousness, just as it was to Abraham. And that's what I hear in all these testimonies. It may have been some doubt, may have been some discouragement, may have been some reticence and reluctance, but believing that God could do it, and He did. And that's something that should be encouraging to all of us. And finally, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have faith. Believe. If you're going out in the name of Jesus, if you're walking by faith, if you're walking by faith, you have nothing to fear because He's the one who's going to do it. You're just the vehicle through which He's doing it. Amen. Amen.